Greet each one in Christ's name this morning. I was also inspired by that devotion this morning that Aaron gave us. And it goes somewhat with the message we'll be looking at this morning. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Title this message, The Joy of the Lord. And in the beginning, you'll probably wonder, well, where do you ever get a title like that? We're going to be talking about the prodigal son. And what joy is there in that? Well, we need to get all the way to the end before we find that. Prodigal son. And Luke 15 starts with beginning at verse 11 and goes on through the rest of the chapter, tells us that story or that account that Jesus gave. What was the prodigal son's real problem? Was he just young fella that was uncomfortable, and he wanted to get out and do things? He was ambitious, and I don't think so. That may have been a part of his way, but it seems like there was something worse there, something different. He not only wanted to get away, but he wanted to have the finances that it took to enjoy life. And so he asked his father to give him his inheritance quite a few years early, to give him that money so that he would have it to enjoy life and not be having to be out there on the grind of the farm every day, feeding the cattle and working the fields and whatever it was that they had to do. It was hard work, but he wanted enjoyment. He wanted pleasure. And where did it take him? We all know that whole story, probably have heard it. Even you children have probably heard this story several times, maybe already. But how does it affect us? Are we affected as older people, as young people, the way this young man was? Do we want to have our own way? Yes, we want to have our own way. We all do. That's built in us to satisfy this person, whether it be at the expense of others or not. We want to have our own way. And we will work at that until we allow God to control our way. Sin keeps a person from having joy. Tim mentioned that Satan doesn't care. He wants to make people uncomfortable. He wants to make people miserable. He wants to make people to where they don't have any joy in life. That's Satan's business. Christ's business is just the opposite. He wants joy to be present. He wants people to be happy. He wants people to have something to look forward to in life. So sin keeps a person from having joy. Let's start with reading a few of these verses at a time, and we'll be looking at some of this account, not everything, this morning. Start with verse 11, Luke 15, verse 11. And a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that befalleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. This young man did exactly what he wanted to do. He left home. He went far enough that no one knew where he was at, knew what he was doing, and what his conditions were. Any of you young fellows want to follow him? No, I'm sure not. I hope not. What was the misery that he left back home? Mom and dad wondering day and night where he's at, what he's doing, what kind of condition he's in, how's he living? I know that to be a fact, that that's probably what they were doing. I had two sisters. They both left home at a young age. Neither one told anybody where they were going, who they were going with, really, and when they'd come home. The one came back in a couple of years and was welcomed back into the home. The other one was gone for 5 years. Both of her parents had died in that time. The last words her mother said was her name. How sad. And then we get a letter. The biggest thing I'm concerned about is how our mom and dad. What do you do with a letter like that? This young man wanted his own way. They wanted their own way. They each left with a man. One was married. And the only way we knew that is that she filed for divorce soon afterwards. And it was in the paper. My other sister saw it. This young man decided he wanted his own way. They decided they wanted their own way. They didn't want to be under the restrictions of the home, of the church, or anybody else. I'm going to do what I want to do. And I believe it's what we find in this young man's attitude. I have read one story about a young man who left home, left his family. I believe he was married with children, I'm not exactly sure. Years later, he died. On his body, he had taped notes for all of his family, so that they would know who he was at the hospital, at the morgue, and know who to contact. What kind of a life do you suppose he lived? You suppose there was any happiness in his life? Any joy? I really doubt it. Satan will take a person farther than we ever want to go if we leave God and we let him go. This young man did that. And Satan took him down, down, down into the pit of destruction, to where he was willing to eat the corn husks. You children have helped make husk corn. You ever tempted to eat those husks? You think they look good? Think they'd be appetizing? You think they would satisfy? No, I doubt that a human body could even digest them. Corn being one of the hardest things there is to digest anyway. But he was there at that point that he would just desire to eat those husks out of the pig trough. Satan doesn't care how far he takes us. He just wants us away from God. He wants us to be in living a life of misery. And that's all he has to offer. It may look glamorous, but it's not. There's nothing out there in the world that can satisfy like a presence of God in our lives. This young man became a slave to Satan. And Satan was driving him to have the pleasures that he thought was pleasures, until he knew he would be at the bottom. Sin separates man from God, not just for time, but for eternity. There is more consequences to sin than just the things that the person experiences, just the things that you see when you go to UGM. It's eternal, never-ending misery and miserable. But right now, sin makes people miserable, uncomfortable, hopeless, nothing in the future. There is no joy in sin. I think this young man had a good time as long as he had a pocket full of money. He had lots of friends as long as he could give them a little here and there. But when it was gone, where did we find his friends? They weren't there. They weren't there to help him. They weren't there to pick him up. They weren't there to give him a little bit back so that he could go to the restaurant and have a dinner, or McDonald's and have a sandwich. But joy comes through Jesus Christ. Joy comes through giving ourselves to him and allowing him to guide our lives and to teach us the way. In verse 17, it says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" How many young men, a young woman who walked away from God, gets out into that condition of life and looks back and desires home, desires to come back to God? There are a few, but not many. My sister sat at our table at TJ's dining room one day, I said, if I were just 10 years younger, I'd do things different. 10 years younger? Today she's 10 years older. She's actually more than that. When is the right time? When is a convenient time for a person to say to God, I've sinned. I've failed you. It's right now. But how many do? Not many. A story is told of a young man who left home years ago. He was out and had his fling in life, but he wanted to go home. And so he wrote his parents a letter. And he said, if you get this letter, I want to come home. I don't know what it said anymore. But he says, if you will accept me, and he enclosed a piece of cloth, tie this cloth on the tree beside the railroad, and I'll know to get off at the next station. If not, don't tie it there, and I'll keep on going. As he was getting closer, as that train was getting closer, he was getting nervous. And the person sat beside him, asked him what was going on. And he told him the story. It says, they rounded a bend, and what did you think? Not only was there a cloth in the tree was full of them. And he knew he could go home. When my sister came home, the one that left when my folks were still living, they had decided that her husband then would leave her off in front of the house. And he would go on. He had never met any of us. But he would go on, and then he would come back. And if she was not welcome, she would be at the door, at the end of the driveway, get in the car, and they would go, and we'd never see him again. But she wasn't there. She wasn't there. And so he came in. We had some wonderful times together. He became a child of God. They were had a nice little family. But one day there was problems in the church they went to. And they, as long with a whole bunch of other people, left and started another church. And it wasn't long until they left that church. And it wasn't long until he started picking up his old habits. When he was converted, God took away the desire for that cigarettes. He carried a pack of cigarettes in his pocket for, I don't remember, I think it was over a week, and never touched them. And finally, he took that pack and a carton and threw them in the landlord was burning brush and threw them in the brush pile, burned them up. First thing he took up was smoking. The next thing was drinking. And the next thing was immorality. He died several years later. His apartment had a garage, I guess. There was a pickup load of empty beer cans in his garage. He had three girlfriends. One of them was at his funeral. Satan doesn't care how far he takes us if we leave God. I think this young man in Luke 15 felt like he was going to die if he stayed where he was. And so there's still a choice. He said, I can go home and give myself to my father as a slave or as a hired servant. They have enough to eat and to spare. And so he went. Verse 18. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Just make me one of the hired servants, one that does the hard work. I don't need anything, just so I have enough to eat. Is that the way we come to God? If we have sinned and come back to God, are we coming back as nobody? As somebody off the street that we can pick up and hire to do this work? Are we coming back as if we were never a child? And that's the way it has to be. We have to have that attitude. And then let God make the choice, make the decision. This father made a decision. And he said, put a ring on his finger, give him some new clothes, and kill the calf, and we'll have a feast. Our son was dead and is alive. That was the way it was in our home when my older sister came back. It was joy and rejoicing that she came home. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. And he was yet a great way off. The father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto his father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto the servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry. You can kind of get a picture of this young man, what he looked like. He needed clothes. He needed shoes. He needed cleaned up. And that's the way we are when we come back to God. We need a new attire. Because we're dirty and filthy from the sin of the world. And God wants us to be cleaned up and to be his son, his daughter. Satan always uses the question, will I be accepted? Will God accept me? How can God accept me? How can he forgive my sin? I have failed him. I have gone away. And Satan will come and say, you have committed the unpardonable sin. I don't know how many people he has deceived with that. You've committed the unpardonable sin. God don't want you. You're too bad. You can't be forgiven. You've gone too far. You've done too much. But God is there and says, no, that's not the case. God says, put a ring on his finger, put clothes on him, and put shoes on him, and let's have a feast. My son was dead and is alive. Let's believe that's what God is trying to tell us. He found joy, this young man did, by going home. He found peace. He found rest. He found life again. The consequences of this son's sin didn't just all go away. When he got home, he also had a brother. Verse 25. And the elder son was in the field, and when he came in and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked, what is going on? What all this meant? And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed a fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I could make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son has come, who hath devoured thy living with harlots, and hast killed thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry, and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. This young man who left needed to face his brother who hated him, who didn't want to have him around, who felt despised because of what his brother had gotten into. It made that family name dirt in his eyes. But he had to face up to that somehow. The story doesn't tell us. Jesus didn't tell us what took place there. But realities of life are there. What do we do with them as children of God? This young man became a son. We have become a child of God. He received more than what he ever dreamt that he would receive when he went home. He wanted to just go as a servant, and he became a son. He was restored to his previous position in the home. He found a security at home that he didn't know was there before he left. Yes, that is what we can find in Jesus. That is what Jesus is trying to teach us with this account. It's not a parable. It says that it happened. I'd like to read Psalm 16. The child of God will find and experience the fullness of joy coming from the throne of heaven. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord, my goodness extendeth to not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasteth after another God. That drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, and my flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave me, my soul in hell. Neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The picture of us being with God is so different than what we see with this young man when he was out there in the pig pen. When he was having a good time, as he thought. When he was enjoying the pleasures of sin. Here we see joy. Here we see peace. Here we see happiness coming from the throne of God to the child of God. Turn over a few pages to Psalm 42. Verses 1-4. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been by me day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone from the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that keep holy day. There the psalmist found God. He found himself in the presence of God when he went to the house of God with God's people. Are we thirsting for God? Are we desiring to be in his presence? Do we love to read his word? Do we thrive on prayer? Talking with him, knowing that he is listening and that he'll answer those prayers. Do we long to be with God in his house? If the answer is yes, we will have and experience his joy. If the answer is no, we will not. We need to turn ourselves around and to get into the presence of God so that we can have his joy. Shall we kneel in prayer?